This is the SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show, Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. And boy, is it good to be in the hot seat with some games to talk about.
Absolutely unbelievable. We were star for action for a couple of weeks and now we're back in the thick of it. And looking forward to hopefully getting through the rest of the season uninterrupted.
We're going to give you more information, but I'm calling it the round of blowouts. There were some absolutely massive wins in the round in both the women's and the men's fixtures.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see those teams that had really sort of spent their time together in that couple of weeks off, and you could see there was a big disparity in the results over the weekend.
If all goes according to plan, we hope to be speaking with the chairman of the board, Jared Prue, a little bit later on as well, Lakeside Lightning rebounding machine, and also the president down there these days.
Yeah. Looking forward to chat to Jared, one of the stalwarts of Lakeside and the former SBL and carrying on his business in NBL One.
Hoping to catch up with Ryan Petrick as well in his role as Rockingham head coach down there, but also speaking a bit about the women's game in relation to the Lynx and some of the players that are running around in the women's NBL One West as well.
Yeah, really interested to speak to Ryan as to how he's balancing both roles and switching between the men's and women's game, and is that providing any challenges for him?
We'll review all of the games that happened last weekend. We'll be taking a look at round five upcoming action as well, and we haven't forgotten about our lost SBL section. We're due to be covering 1990, the second season of the State Basketball League. We'll be back to go through all of last weekend's results after this on the NBL One West radio show.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show. Well, it's kind of really only round two that we got through, but according to the fixtures, it was actually round four. The first game for some teams was only their first game of the season. That included the Perry Lakes women, for example, the Bucks, and even both sides for Kalamunda. It was only their first round. Earlier on, I called it the round of blowouts, and you'll see why as we run through some of these fixtures now. Lakeside went down to the East Perth Eagles in the women. That was 80-75. The Rockingham Flames got over the Willetton Tigers, 85-72. Down there at the Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre, the visiting Hawks, the Lady Hawks, got up over the Redbacks. That was a game that I was in attendance at. Big game for Michaela Dyer there, but for the winning Perry Lakes Hawks, it was actually Madeline Dennis who had an absolute smashing game, shooting 4 of 6 from downtown, leading her team with 22 points to go along with 12 rebounds as well.
Yeah, great game there. Good to see people lighting it up from behind the arc.
Matty Allen was in early foul trouble and only managed to end with 4 points. As expected, 11 rebounds from her chipping in. But Michaela Dyer, she had a great game with 23 points, but was sort of a bit of a lone hand on the scoring side at least. Anyway, their captain, Jessica Jenkins, JJ, chiming in with 19 points as well. The final Saturday night fixture saw the Wolves getting up over the Eastern Suns, 78-65. And then the final women's game of the round was Sunday down there at Southwest, with the Slammers going down to the visiting Flames, 39-80, in one of the heavy defeats of the women's round.
A real interesting observation there for me as we're looking at some teams like the Southwest Slammers who've now played 4 games and we've got the Eastern Suns who've only played 1. So there is a bit of an anomaly in the fixtures at the moment, and it's hard to read a lot into those early results.
Probably good that you bring that up, because it's a good segue in my chats with Adam at the league, that they're hoping to slot that round two fixtures into the round eight, where they were going to be having that bye, I suppose week eight at least anyway, where that was bye. All the games missed from round three are going to be slotted in a bit haphazardly, wherever they're going to naturally fit. And obviously this is all in consultation and conjunction with the clubs as well. The two blips on the radar are probably the missed games from the Bucks and the missed game from the Giants, because it's quite hard to slot those obviously into a Sunday, which is where they hope to put a lot of those, because of the travelling issues, I guess, as well.
Yeah, I know that in the discussions with the Eastern Suns, having been one of the clubs that missed that first round against the Bucks, the talk is that we would actually travel up on a Saturday after playing on a Friday night and then stay the night and then play on the Sunday. So Yeah, it is an anomaly. But again, with the conferences and the way things are set up, we're actually playing a few less games. So having to slot a few extra ones in isn't going to increase the workload too much.
We called it the round of blowouts, and you'll see this in the men's as well. The Joondalup Wolves, 84, getting up over the Eastern Sun, 61. Do you want to comment on that one?
Yeah, look, very competitive first half from both teams, and then the class of the Wolves comes through with Lachie Cummings and Jonathan Wade both sort of delivering big second halves, and Chris Johnson and Bang Majok worked hard for us, but the Wolves too good on the night.
Perry Lakes Hawks visited the Perth Redbacks and got up 96-51 in another one of those fairly heavy blowouts.
Yeah, Lewis Timms playing a lone hand there for the Redbacks with 15 points, but I think Lewis Thomas and Andrew Ferguson were just was too big for him. And Mitch Clark with 22 points is great to see, and a name that we like to see around WA basketball, Matt Leary. Great to see him playing and getting some baskets for the Hawks.
It was really shooting percentage for the Redbacks that seemed to let them down, seeing that game sort of on the day. Yes, Mitch Clark was hot, and the Redbacks had trouble hitting the side of a barn in that match, that's for sure. Looking now at the Mandurah Magic, you were calling this one the upset of the round, perhaps. The Magic getting up over the Cougars, 88-81.
Yeah, look, just based on what we'd seen in week one, I thought the Magic were competitive and they were great. But the Cougars, I thought, given that extra week with Andrew Cooper back and that extra time to gel between Gav and Nick Posoglu would probably be a bit too much. But Jeremy Grace was outstanding. 33 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists was just a great return from him. And another quiet one from Gav and Posoglu. So hopefully they don't find the shooting machine this week at Coburn and light up next weekend. But yeah, very, very uncharacteristic for those boys.
The margin in this next one probably did surprise me a little bit because particularly given that this was the Aaron Ralph 400 game as well, and I was sure the Bucks would be up and about for that. But the Giants getting up 103 over the Buccaneers, 69.
Yeah, and I think we can just sort of, you know, see what the adversity is that the Bucks have gone through, and a lot to deal with and in the first 4 weeks. And I think just for them to be on the court and playing was excellent. But to, you know, to see Julian Peceva and Den Kwani go out and have 25 and 28 points respectively, that's a great return for two new recruits for the Giants.
The Warwick Senators getting up over the Southwest Slammers, 96-60 in another heavy defeat.
Yeah, and Caleb Davis leading the way, showing what he can do, and an unsurprisingly quiet night from Mitch Keller, which I think the way he goes will determine how successful the Slammers are.
This next one also surprised me a bit, particularly given the size of the margin. The Lakeside Lightning, 121, more than doubling the East Perth Eagles with 60. The Eagles having recently beaten Mandurah in, you know, earlier rounds, so that really came as a surprise.
Yeah, and I think what we're seeing from the Lightning is they've got that backcourt trio of Sherville, Armour and Eisenbarger all firing, and even if it was those three, they would have won this game by 20, given the points they scored. So a very long night for the Eagles. Not to even to have someone score in double figures is quite a hole to try and dig yourself out of.
We hope to be speaking to Ryan Petrick a little bit later on. He warned me that he was going to be having what he called a brutal video session this week. And it was as a result of this next one that I'm going to read out to you. Willetton Tigers, 83 over the Rockingham Flames, 65.
Yeah, and as we spoke about Buff's 250th this weekend, and we thought this would be the one they'd get. Notably, I'm fairly certain that Greg Hire was not there for the game, which probably led to this scoreline being what it was. So Damien Scott and Michael Vigor, outstanding. And not much support there for Ryan Godfrey in his 250th.
From what I'd understood, Greg Hire, an assistant at the Australian Nationals, he only literally just stepped off the plane in time for the game, and therefore he wasn't able to make it. I'm not sure about his health status as well, but his availability was not 100% anyway there. But in speaking with Petrick, it was cold comfort for him to a certain extent, getting the win the next night, 91-52 over the Southwest Slammers.
And as we said, Mitch Keller, very, very quiet week. And whether he's injured or not, I'm not sure, but given his form in the West Coast Classic, we would have thought his performance over the weekend would have been a bit higher.
We'll be speaking with Ryan Petrick before too long, but after the break we hope to have Jared Prue, the chairman of the boards, the president and the leading rebounder from the weekend, as usual for the Lakeside Lightning. It's the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West radio show. Ben and Brett with you, and we're on the line, as promised, with the chairman of the boards from Lakeside Town, Jared Prue. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Phil.
Thanks very much for joining us. My key question was to ask you, after having taken on the presidency down there at Lakeside, how are you juggling the playing duties with the administration side of life as well?
Well, I'm actually also coaching one of the under-12s wobble teams when my son started playing, so it has been a bit of a handful, but enjoying it. It sort of provides that good sort of balance between seeing both sides of things. I'd really only really played before, I guess hadn't really focused much on that sort of administrative side of things. So it's been good to see the how it works on the other side, so to speak.
And we normally see a coach take on that sort of presidency role, or a role on a board and that sort of stuff. How much different is it for you, fulfilling that play, running around on the court, and then perhaps having to field a few questions regarding to the club and where it's going?
Well, for me, with my work, I sort of have a bit of experience in that kind of side of thing. So it hasn't been, and I mean, we're only a couple of games in.
Yeah.
And, so it hasn't, maybe ask me the same question in a few months, I might have a different answer, but to date, yeah, hasn't really been too many dramas. There's great support down there, around the club, some really good people who do a lot of it. And so I really, they do a lot of the operation stuff. So not a lot of these days I've had to do, fortunately.
Pretty big win on the weekend for the Lightning. You don't see that margin too often, 121-60. And I'm looking at your plus minus, a plus 62. I don't think you would have had that too often in your career, would you?
Yeah, my 2 points really made a big difference, obviously, to the game.
It was probably your 17 rebounds, which is pretty typical for you. Ben actually joked and said he thought you got an offensive rebound as you entered the building, probably. So
yeah, same for everybody. It's been a really weird few weeks. But for us, probably coming off a pretty tough loss and then having those couple of weeks of, not really knowing what was happening, built up kind of, I guess, frustration and with Jay not playing and Josh not playing. It was sort of a bit of a strange game, but it sort of all clicked. Sherville, whilst he played, he hadn't trained during the week because he was away with the Cats. So it'd been strange week, but a really, really one of those performances. Everything sort of seemed to click together at the right time.
Seemed like the three-point shooting was a key. You mentioned Sherville. He was 6 of 9. Eisenbarg was 9 of 11. So you can't ask much more than that from those guys.
No, it was really a pleasure watching. Early on, Kyle, sort of set it up early with some of the way he attacked the basket and just sort of freed up the shooters for the rest of the game. So I think he really set the tone early. And, the guys were... we're shooting the ball very well, which was good to see. Defensively, Dave's really been challenging us defensively as well to lift the bar. And I think, seeing that 60 points was also as pleasing, if not more pleasing, than how many points we put on the board ourselves.
You could have had 27 rebounds if they would have missed a few shots for you.
I know. It was as I said, at my age and where I'm at in my career, it was just great to have. I hadn't sung the song for over 18 months, so it was just really good to be involved and have a win like that.
Yeah, and I guess we spoke last year, and you'd sat out the West Coast Classic, and we talked about what you were thinking about for this year, and was there a point at practice when Sherville and Kyle and Jack went nuts at practice, and you thought this is actually going to be a fun year if these three can put it together like they did on Saturday night?
Well, I must be honest, I only sort of started training a few weeks before the start of the season. I probably wasn't going to be playing for a few reasons. I did sign up to play, and as I said, Sherville, because of his Cats commitment, hasn't really been training much. But I do think that with Jay as well, when everyone puts it together, I think offensively there's a lot of weapons there. But I think, as I mentioned, it's really can we bring the defensive intensity game in, game out, is to where our season's going to go.
Looking ahead for you this weekend, I'm expecting another potentially big margin as you're facing the Southwest, the winless Southwest Slammers, who probably have been struggling to get up points as well. Have you looked ahead to next weekend as yet?
For me, as you mentioned before, with the playing and the present side, I've sort of deliberately, after games, sort of switched off and not really focused too much until training on Tuesday. So I'm sure Dave will make sure we're focused and knowing what we need to to get done. to obviously, you know, hopefully get another win on the board Saturday night.
Thanks very much, Jared. We'll talk to you more in some podcast extra content, but for now, we'll wish you all the best for the weekend.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Appreciate your time.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show podcast extra content. We're still here with Jared Prue, the chairman of the boards down there at Lakeside, in more ways than one these days. Dual roles down there for Jared.
Question for me is, how's Dave going being both head coach of the men's and women's and kind of having, I guess, two different sort of the teams that he's sort of juggling between? I know it's probably more of a question for him, but given your relationship that you have and I know you get on really well, like how's he travelling and how's he going with it all?
I think it's fair to say he probably would have liked to have had probably another a win or so on the board from the women's perspective. I think he's enjoying. It's a completely different, I guess, experience to, you know, the men's team. Probably have quite a bit more experience. You know, quite a few veterans on the squad, and I think for him it's a different challenge. I think he's enjoying that. You know, that different challenge of trying to develop some of the younger girls. Is quite a young squad. You know, a couple of, obviously, you know, a few links and WNBL experience as well. But, I think having his daughter, Kira, on the team, I think makes it probably a bit special for him as well, and helping her as she continues to develop in her game.
And for you, you know, given this year, the imports are very light on, what is it like for you to look around and not see a Kevin Davis or a Ray Turner or a Ryan Wright or a Jalen Billups to come up against week in, week out?
Yeah, well, I think as I said, 39, it's a very fortunate, to be honest. It's over my career, so there's been some exceptional imports and local players who I've gone up against. And, looking across, there's still a lot of very, very athletic, high-quality big guys. So whilst it might be, you look at it, and I think it's important not to kind of, take that foot off the accelerator and go, well, there's no import. It's important you respect whoever you're going against. But no, definitely grateful some of those, as you said, bigger the bodies maybe aren't in the league this year.
I guess building on that point, Lakeside have been in, I'm going to say, a fortunate position, but I imagine it was a fairly savvy position as well, given that the likelihood of imports being able to come in now is somewhat limited. You guys have got your two restricted players essentially in place, and it really probably puts you in quite a good position moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, very, very fortunate, really. I mean, Jack, lives here now, obviously married to Ash. So, we're fortunate to have him in, and Jay was a, when COVID, same as obviously playing the West Coast Classic, when COVID hit, he decided to hang around, and obviously very fortunate that, he's still in the country, and a couple other clubs who had players hang around and then went home and hoping to come back, and it looks like, who knows, things might change. It looks like that might not happen. Mm. But no, Derry, definitely very fortunate to have the caliber of, those guys still around.
Well, Jared, we thank you very much for your time. We appreciate your efforts down there with Lakeside in your dual roles, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us as well.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jared.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West with Brett Costello, Chris Pike, and Ben Ettridge. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Tuesdays from 2 p.m., 897 FM. Tuesday nights from 5 p.m., Radio Mama. Wednesday nights from 5 p.m., Oz Urban Radio. Thursday nights from 9 p.m. on 98.5, Sunshine FM. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It's the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. And we're pleased to be on the line with Brian Petrick. Maybe you know him as the coach of the men's SBL Flames down there in Rockingham. Or perhaps if you're following the women's game, you'll know him as the head coach of the Perth Lynx. So welcome along.
Boys, how are you going? Very good.
Good to have you, mate. So just on your NBL One season so far, you've added a couple of new faces down there, and you know, how's the season been for you? Given the you've lived through a bubble with the WNBL team, how's it all going, and how's the basketball going for you at Rockingham?
Probably pretty much like everyone else ever on the planet, like just kind of hoping COVID ends sooner rather than later, just because everything's a mess, as I'm sure all 14 men's teams are going through and all 12 women's teams in the state league. So everyone's had really good plans, and we thought we had some really good plans to try and counter it, and every time you think you get an idea of which direction they're heading, something changes. So obviously early on we knew imports might be hard to get, so we probably need to go and find elite Australian players. So obviously we made sure we locked up Hussey early on, all our core locals early on as well. And then we went and got Greg Dunn, and then we went and got Tom Jervis signed, which we thought was a huge pickup, literally and figuratively, because obviously he wasn't affiliated with the NBL team at the time. And then the Wildcats saw it, and they went and signed him. So we lost Tommy, and then we're obviously going to get him back at some point, but we thought we'd get a whole season out of him. And now obviously we might be lucky to get a quarter. And then same kind of deal with Hussey. Hussey pulled out late Feb, just because the border restrictions changed and stuff, and it just became a bit too hard. So certainly we've lost him for the first half of the season at least. And then who knows what happens after that. And then obviously we're going down the import route. And from what I'm told, the Queensland government were pretty pro bringing imports in. And then the India situation blew up, and it's like, oh, this is not going to be good. And then Border Force closed that hole down. So it's been a moving feast and a moving target. And just every time you think you've got a solution, a new problem pops up. But again, every club, I'm sure, in the state and in the country has got the same kind of situation to work through. It's just really difficult right now.
We mentioned and joked a little bit earlier about a brutal video session that you were having following a loss to Willetton on the weekend, but you did have a mixed weekend as well, getting the win over the Slammers. What was your takeaways from your video review, or how much can you tell us anyway?
First and foremost, credit where it's due. Willetton were terrific. Played really well. Finished just like we expected. They were a terrific game one against Lakeside. And they obviously kicked out backside. So full credit to Adam and the boys down at Wilson. They were fantastic. But geez, from our guys' point of view, just horrible. And you can have bad games where you don't shoot well, or just something goes wrong, or whatever goes wrong. Like, if you're in this caber for long enough, you can have bad games. But to lose the lack of effort that we had in front of our home crowd after not playing for 3 weeks or whatever it was, after playing the make-believe season last year in Buffers 250th, like, there was just no reason why we weren't fired up and ready to go, and just brought zero effort to the game and got the result we deserved. We probably should have lost by 40. Some home truths needed to be shown on film, and again, film doesn't lie. You can play it, watch them, and there's nowhere to hide. So pretty open and honest with it. Surely we didn't enjoy it. But certainly playing that ender to see.
And yeah, we saw those sorts of results across the weekend. I mean, you weren't the only guys that sort of lost by a decent margin. We were on that end as well. And you know, was there anything in particular that you could put your finger on that sort of, as you look around the league, you'd say, you know what, this seemed to be the common theme?
Well, ours is more just a lack of effort. Again, Wilson were terrific, take nothing away from them. But our guys, like, we were pretty black and white with, okay, listen, they shot the lights out against Lakeside. They can really shoot it. And they can really run it. They're playing four guards around Vigor inside. So clearly they can play small ball. We're pretty big. So you expect them to get out and run. So offensively, taking bad shots, turning it over, that's going to kill you. We lost the turnover count 22-7. So it was like, geez. One of their best offenses was us just turning the ball over. It was like, okay, well, maybe we get it back on the offensive glass. They're playing four guards, like, we should be able to punish him inside. Well, they won the offensive rebound count as well. So they take 91 shots to our 68 or 65, whatever it was. And from there, it's just over. So, again, can understand a bad shooting night or something going wrong. But just losing the way we did, just totally unacceptable at this level.
What was your takeaway from your win against the Slammers? Obviously, a different level of opponent. They potentially seem a little undermanned this season.
Yeah, so just after the butt-kicking they copped Saturday night, our boys, just played with a lot more heart. That was probably the number one thing. We were really just... We also sent out the scout, the video review, the Slammers, and we made sure we knew what they were running and how they were going to try and execute it, and all our personnel scout. But
really trying to focus on getting ourselves right, because again, we were just so far off on Saturday night. So played with a lot more heart and a lot faster and a lot more spacing and played better. Still not solved and still have things to work through as this season evolves, but certainly played with a better tempo and better spacing, and that kind of unlocked us a little bit more than certainly not before anyway.
On the weekend, it looks like you're set to travel again, heading up to the Bucks, who got their first game under their belt on the weekend, but a heavy defeat to the Giants. What are you expecting from the Bucks as you head up to Active West Stadium?
Yeah, so scouted the, again, like trying to make sure we got our game coded today, but I got through the Geraldton-Kalgoorlie game from the weekend. And Kalgoorlie, it looks like they sat in a 3-2 zone or a 1-2-2 zone for the best part of 38, 39 minutes. So don't have a lot of playbook. Obviously, if you're going to play it up against that much zone, you're going to see a lot of three-point shooting. So they got up plenty of shots. And obviously, you know Ralph and Wunderberg and what they're going to bring to the program. So, I mean, the reality, they are the defending champs. Obviously, they're down on some personnel. But I mean, Geraldton, as Ben would know, tough trip, regardless of who they're putting out on the floor. And I believe it's their first home game, like their first real home game since the 2019 championship. So we expect him to be fired up and ready to go.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning the 2019 championship. We seem to get that in quite a bit on the show here. Is Greg back and ready to go?
Yeah, I spoke to him today. He's meant to be back this week. But some things have just gone wrong. Same thing as we were talking before. Like every time we think he's going to suit up, something goes wrong somewhere. So at this stage, he's in. And obviously, that'll solve a lot of our effort issues because Greg will take care of it by himself and that'll make everyone else play way harder. So hopefully he's in. Certainly at this stage, he's in. From the Saturday night result, we need him to be in.
Thanks very much, Ryan. We might get you to hang on the line because after the break, we'd like to chat to you a little bit about the women's game and some of the Lynx players who are perhaps running around in the NBL 1 West women. It's Brett and Ben. We've got Ryan on the line for the NBL 1 West radio show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL 1 West radio show.
Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge, it's the NBL 1 West radio show. We're on the line by Ryan Petrick. This time we're talking to him in his role as the head coach of the Perth Lynx.
We've spoken to a few coaches along the journey here, and they're loving being able to watch the other NBL 1 conferences to look at different players and different talent. How much of your preparation for your WNBL 1 season does that form?
So a fair bit of it. Right now we're heavily into the import stage. And they're trying to fill out most teams, trying to fill out players 1, 2, 3, and then working their way down. So clearly we've already got three or four local players tied up for next season and getting heavily involved now in those final few pieces / the overseas pieces. And as you would know, it's just going through 7 or 8 different countries, WNBA preseason over the weekend. Well, literally, I think our spreadsheet on imports was 160 players long. So trying to make sure you're watching all of those whilst trying to catch certain players in state leagues all around the country. There's a fair bit to watch right now.
It's quite a bit of a connection with Darcy Garvin and the NBL 1 West women, obviously signing with Rockingham, but understand she's playing for Frankston at the moment as she's sort of going through her process of team selection over in the East Coast. What do you know of her progress so far and how it may impact on what's happening over here as well?
Yeah, so certainly is the plan. Again, I don't think it's a big secret. The plan is to be there for the Opals camps, which I believe they've got another one next week. I believe he got moved because something went wrong. So I've been speaking to Katie, so I think they're on next week. So of which they're meant to announce the team later in the month, I believe. But again, same thing with COVID from earlier on, it's a moving feast. So that can chop and change. The same kind of situation with Katie moving back to New South Wales and Darcy moving to Victoria in the short term. It's just easy to get to and from the camps. What couldn't happen, so they were in Queensland, and then obviously the shutdown happened the first time in WA. They kind of got stuck in quarantine. That just doesn't work. So they needed to relocate to the East Coast, where the majority of the camp's going to be until that selection process plays itself out.
Obviously, you're probably doing a lot of your scouting for the men, but have you had much opportunity to see any of the broadcasts and online telecasts of the women's NBL 1 West games and keep a track on some of your Lynx players?
You certainly kept a keen eye on our players and the players we're looking at. Haven't followed the games as much, purely because we're very targeted on certain players. So trying to watch certain teams and certain players in it, and then again, all over the country. But as I said earlier, like right now, our probably main focus is trying to secure those top two or three players alongside Darcy and Lauren. So trying to go through more of the international game right now, while still certainly keeping an eye on the local league from an individual point of view.
Well, in action coming up this weekend, Friday the 14th, the Perth Redbacks will be hosting the East Perth Eagles down there at Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre. Redbacks coming off a loss. The East Perth Eagles have managed to string a couple of wins together the last couple of weeks.
Some very good return for Blake Sravdev in his first official head coaching role in NBL 1 West. And the East Perth Eagles on a two-game win streak, I'm going to be hard-pressed to not tip against them. So the Eagles for the win in that one.
How about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'll be going East Perth as well. They've had a really good start to the year.
The Warwick Senators coming off a couple of wins, going up against the Joondalup Wolves, who have also had two wins to open the season.
Yeah, the crosstown rivals there, and having seen the Joondalup Wolves women play last week against the Eastern Suns, Nixie's got them very well polished and playing very well.
The Wolves will be backing up on the Saturday night as they host the Mandurah Magic, who have had a couple of losses.
Yeah, I'll be looking at the Wolves to go 2-for-2 this weekend.
Yeah, no, definitely Joondalup, certainly an adult team. Again, desperate for another championship.
The Willerton Tigers will be hosting the Perry Lakes Hawks on Saturday. There's a 5 p.m. tip-off there for the women.
Hawks for me in this one.
Yeah, interesting one for us from a Lynx point of view, because Alex Sharp playing as a big for Willerton against all the bigs at Perry Lakes. So really interesting to see how Sharpie goes this weekend.
Having seen the Perry Lakes Hawks women last weekend against the Redbacks, that big lineup that they've got and all the high-low action that they're running was really effective against the Redbacks. On the Saturday, we'll also see the Lakeside Lightning hosting the Southwest Slammers. Interesting one, because neither of these teams are yet to clock a win in 2021.
Yeah, and as we've sort of alluded to, Dave Daniels taking on that dual role, and look, I would think that two losses on his ledger wouldn't be sitting well with him, so I'll tip the Lakeside Lightning in this one.
And then out at Ray Owen Sports Centre on the Saturday, 6:30 p.m. tip-off for the women, the Eastern Suns are hosting the Coburn Cougars.
And I know that Coach Mansfield wouldn't have been too happy with the way the game got away from them at the end there against the Wolves. But given that, Tyrone Thwaites has got his Coburn Cougars up and about, and I'll tip them to get the win up at Ray Owen on Saturday.
Yeah, I'd be the same. Really keen to see Jewel Williams go again. Shot the lights out last weekend, and some of the shots she was making was just ridiculous. And hopefully she can continue that form on this week.
Eastern Suns with back-to-back home games. They're going to be hosting the Tigers on Sunday. That's a midday tip-off for the girls.
Yeah, and I would think that no coach likes to go 0-for-2 on a doubleheader weekend, so I'll get the Eastern Suns in this one.
Yeah, and I'll take Eastern Suns again.
Well, Ryan, we thank you for taking the time to chat with us and your input into both the men's and the women's game. We wish you good luck on the weekend and for the road trip up to Gero.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks for your time.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
The NBL One West Radio Show, our regular segment called Lost SBL. And this week we're taking a look at the second year of the SBL. It was 1990, the second season after the move from the local district competition into the official State Basketball League. Taking a look at the men's, we mentioned it to you last week, the big mover was the Swan City Mustangs, who after going winless in 1989, actually finished the regular season with a 23-3 record to sit on top of the ladder at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I remember heading out to the Midland Aquatic Centre to watch that team. Very, very powerful, very lots of NBL players on it, and Norm Majors sort of striding the sidelines there was a great team to go and watch.
But it was actually the might of the Perth Redbacks coming off their 89 championship, although only finishing the regular season in the fifth spot. They were able to get through the quarterfinals, semis, and get to the grand final, defeating the Senators 114-91.
Yeah, and if I remember rightly, they took a while to hit their straps. New import CJ Jackson took about seven games to make a basket, if the stories are true, and Vlahov and Longley missing for a major part of the season at a World Cup campaign. So, yeah, look, the Redbacks there asserting their dominance and going back-to-back.
Most valuable player that year for the men was Jeff Anderson, backing up his 1989 joint MVP with Pete Hansen. But you mentioned his streak dated prior to that as well.
Yeah, so initially when Jeff came out and played in the District League, he won two MVPs there. As a total of four, which I don't think will ever be surpassed in WA basketball, state basketball records.
And coach of the year for the men was Don Shepherd, also backing up from 1989.
Yeah, as the coach of the Redbacks there, Don Shepherd, engineering their two championship runs.
In the women's competition, the league leader at the end of the regular season also was not the eventual champion. The Senators on top of the ladder with a 19-2 record, but it was the Wolves 70 getting up over the Senators 67 in the grand final.
Yeah, and I believe it was a big performance there from Donna Cooperus and Marianne DiFrancesco that led the way for the Wolves in that one.
The MVP of the Women's League that year was Fiona Robinson.
Fiona fulfilling her role in the Waist Breakers as they were then as well.
Van Kalis, the coach of the year for the women in 1990.
Yeah, the living legend, Van Kalis. The man has fulfilled nearly every role in WA basketball and, winning a championship with the Wanneroo Wolves.
Next week, we'll continue on in sequential order with 1991. After taking out the men's championship in 1989 and 1990, can the Redbacks get a three-peat? We'll tell you next week, if you don't already know, as history has told. It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Hope you've enjoyed our Lost SBL segment. We'll be back with more after this.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Ben Ettridge and Brett Costello with you. It is the NBL One West Radio Show, taking a look at the upcoming Round 5 action for this weekend. NBL One West on the Friday night. The men tips off at 8:30 p.m. there at Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre as the Redbacks host the East Perth Eagles.
And I ran into CJ Jackson after my under-20s game on Sunday, and I know he was none too happy with the two losses in the column there, and he was looking to a much better effort from his guys in this game. And look, I think Lewis Timms will be too mobile and too big out there, and as I said last week, whether Marshall Nelson is back this week will go a long way to determining the result of this one. But given the Eagles' performances last weekend, I think Redbacks will be too strong.
At Warwick Stadium, also an 8:30 p.m. tip-off. This is an interesting one because the Senators undefeated so far. The Wolves also undefeated in 2021.
And I really like this matchup. I think both these teams are very settled. If you look at their past 5 years, their starting fives are very very similar. They've got two quality imports that are in their lineups. And I just think it's going to be a cracking game to watch, and I will be sitting down to watch it at 8:30 on Friday night with a big bowl of popcorn and a ice cold Coke and just seeing how this game one turns out. But for me, I think the Senators will be too much, a little bit too deep, even though the Wolves do have that extended bench now with Iliadis and Ironmonger back. But I think the Senators will be a little bit too much for the Wolves in this one.
We spoke to Ryan Petrick earlier on, and his Flames are travelling up to play the Geraldton Buccaneers at Active West Stadium. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off up there.
And as Ryan said, with Greg High back in the lineup, that's a completely different ball game for the Flames. So up there, I know it's the Bucks' first home game for a long time, but I would tip the Flames in this one.
The Wolves, back-to-back games for them, 7 p.m. tip-off up there at HBF Arena against the Mandurah Magic on Saturday night.
Magic showing some good form, and Jeremy Grace versus Lockie Cummings will be a great matchup in the backcourt. Although I think the Wolves front court is quite good with Huntington and via Gina. However, I think that extra production they're getting out of Brian Carwell there with Xavier Shaw and Ben Smith, the Magic could come away with an upset. This could be another one to keep a close eye on.
East Perth Eagles will host the travelling Goldfield Giants at Herb Graham Rec Centre. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off there. If you'd like to get around it, get out to the stadium and check that one out.
And I think the Goldfields Giants will be too big and too strong in this one. Paseva is hitting his form. Den Kwani showed what he can do, and I love the inclusion of Cooper Creek. He's a very, very versatile big, and three blocks on the weekend just shows what he can do on the inside as well, give him that interior presence. So I think the Giants will be too big and too strong in this one.
Another matchup of two undefeated teams so far in 2021, both with two wins under their belt. The Willetton Tigers will host the Perry Lakes Hawks at Willetton Basketball Stadium, 7 p.m. tip-off for the men.
Really interesting matchup here. The slow-down, methodical style of the Perry Lakes Hawks, and they like to get the ball through hands and get the ball to the right people. As we spoke about, the Tigers are very much in that run-and-stun phase, four guards around Michael Vigor. So the clash of the two different styles, I think the Hawks, though, might be a little bit too big on the boards with Ferguson and Thomas and Purser in there. So the Hawks in this one for me.
The Lakeside Lightning, after having doubled the East Perth Eagles last weekend, will now go up against the South West Slammers on Saturday, 8 p.m. tip-off for the men there at Lakeside Rec Centre.
And as we spoke to Jared Prue about, Lakeside Lightning had Sherville, Eisenbarger scoring 29 points each, and Prue chiming in with two. Their 61 points would have beat the Eagles on their own. So I think it could be a long night for the Slammers. Lakeside team is really starting to hit their straps.
The Coburn Cougars and the Eastern Suns both looking to get a win on the board in season 2021. The Suns will host the Cougars at Ray Owen Sports Centre, tip-off 8:30 p.m. on Saturday night.
And both teams looking to get off that duck. And both teams have made some inclusions over the off-season and would have had their sights set on making a top eight and making that first round of the finals. So being that it's up at home for us, and we have also had a brutal video session this week about what we need to do, I think you'll see a different Eastern Suns lineup come out, and we do shoot the ball very well up there. I think we shot 48 three-pointers on the weekend, and if we can hit a third of those, we're going to be around the mark. So Eastern Suns for me in that one.
The Cougars with two chances to open their account across the weekend. The second game is on Sunday at midday down there at Wally Hagen Stadium. They'll be hosting the visiting Goldfield Giants.
And I really do like that Giants lineup. I think Wayne Creek has done a great job last year and will continue to do that this year. And I just think they're very well balanced and very deep, and probably a little bit too big for the Cougars. So the Giants again.
The Suns with their second match of the weekend, another home game for them at Ray Owen Sports Centre, hosting the Willetton Tigers.
And two teams playing very similar styles at the moment. So this could be the high scoring game of the round if both teams make a basket. However, it could also be one of the lower scoring if we shoot like we did last week. So being that it's the back end of a doubleheader for us, but we've played that one less game than the Tigers, I'm going to tip the Suns to go 2 for 2 this weekend.
You can check out all of those fixtures and the action over at nbl1.com.au, or download the NBL app for your smartphone or device, and then just select NBL One West. You can get around to your local stadium or association to check out the games, or make sure you check them out online. This is the NBL One West Radio Show. We'll be back to wrap up after this.
The SKG Radiology official NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
As we wrap things up on the NBL One West Radio Show, a bit of a shout out to some of the guys who last weekend managed to finally get through their milestone games, including Nicole Jordis and Jaw there at the Senators, getting 400 games for the women. That was amazing.
Yeah, anyone that has that sort of longevity in the league is to be admired, and just a great return and a great career.
Aaron Ralph finally managed to crack through his 400 with the men, and of course Ryan Godfrey getting the 250. Coming ahead this weekend, Courtney Mansfield should be playing her 250th game as well.
Yeah, and also Brendan Donato chalked up his 150th last week, so good to see for Brendan Donato there.
A few shout-outs and best wishes for a couple of injuries which we heard about. If you're a little squeamish, you probably don't want to see the footage of Brody England from Southwest Slammers. His ankle injury looking rather nasty, so we wish him all the best as well. It also sounds like the Coburn women had a bad night of injuries with Hayley D'Souza twisting an ankle and Tia Morgan suspected fracture of her tibia, maybe bone bruising. I guess more news to come on that. So we wish all those guys and anyone who may have picked up an injury all the best.
Yeah, always not great to hear of people getting injured, but hopefully they're on the road to recovery.
Of course, last round was the breast cancer awareness round, the pink round. I was down there at Belmont Oasis for a while. It was great to see everyone in the pink T-shirts.
Yeah, it was also great to tune in and see it's an Australia-wide thing across all conferences of NBL1, all supporting such a great cause.
Breast Cancer Network Australia, of course, and you're doing a little bit of fundraising on the side as well.
Yeah, so I've still got the customised Air Force ones up on the for the Facebook page for anyone that wants to jump on and donate. The highest bidder receives a pair of size 11.5 customised Air Force ones.
Well, that's it for this week's edition of the show. If you are listening live on the air, you can, of course, check out the podcast edition through all the usual providers, Podomatic, TuneIn, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can find us over there, and you can even link with some of the extra podcast content that we didn't have time to get out on the air for you. Until next week, from Ben and Brett, take it easy. Have a good one.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.